The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Good morning.
How are you, Ann? It's always great to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much.
And just a little bit about Project Independence. As we say every week, it's the town's initiative to help seniors age at home. The number we give out all the time, of course, is 311. Any questions you have, the services provided by the town range from social work services to home repairs, transportation, which is the biggest one, to doctors, for food shopping, for, you know, little things that you have to get into town for. We've had those people on in the past. It's absolutely wonderful. Medical, the exercise classes, everything you need to know about Project Independence, of course, is in the Christina Lu Show at 11:30. So that's the one thing that you have to listen to, and Christina brings you up to date on everything, even though she's getting older. You know, there's no question about it, but she's still very, very vital. Before I go to my first guest, I want to make an announcement in this is acceptable in reference to the election or the primary coming up on April 19th. It's a double ballot primary, which I just heard the other day. When you go in to vote, you have to vote for the president, okay? But if you're also voting for a special election that had been going on the same day, you actually have to go on another line and re-register for that. And I never heard that before. It's the first time it's ever happening. So any place that's having, like, we have a Senate election on the other side out of the town of North Hempstead, but that's not the point. It's an interesting thing this year. You have to sign in twice if you want to vote for the two different people.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, people don't pay attention. You sign in, you go, and you walk out the door.
Of course.
You may not have voted for the other person, which you wanted to.
That's an important thing. I'm sure many people are not aware of that. I was not aware of it.
I wasn't until 2 days ago. So
good,
I said, we'll bring it
good
up.
Good thing to know, yes.
We'll talk about it. But right now, I'd like to introduce everybody to Ron Fatula, who is an attorney, an elder law attorney, and a financial advisor, been in business for years, 40 years.
40 years.
40 years, has a large staff, and has a depth of knowledge in many issues. And today we're going to be talking about employment issues for seniors. But we can, as we normally do, go wherever the most significant conversation takes us. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Just before the show started, you said you wanted to talk in reference to the DOL decision
right.
from Wednesday 1st.
That's correct.
And
two days ago,
yeah.
Big breaking news, and John, you know all about it as well. It's huge news. The Department of Labor issued a ruling which said, and many people can't believe that an advisor or broker does not have to act in the best interest of their clients, but must provide suitable investments, which I'm happy to explain what that is. The rule came down, it's going to be phased in over a period of time, but came down to say on tax-advantaged retirement accounts, all brokers and advisors must act in the best interest of their clients.
Amazing you needed a law
right.
to bring that to the fruition,
absolutely.
So to speak.
Yeah.
And as I, you know, as an attorney, it's just crazy to think that you can deal with someone who's your client, who's relying on your service, and actually managing their retirement accounts. This is what they're going to live on in the future, and they don't have to act in your best interest vis-a-vis themselves. So may I give an example?
Sure.
Sure.
Absolutely.
If the advisor had a couple of products to offer, both are very suitable for the client.
Mm-hmm.
One product might pay that advisor back, I'm just picking a number, 6 percentage points.
Mm-hmm.
The other might pay that advisor back nothing or a quarter of a point, a half a point. The advisor can recommend that first product, which he's going to get back 6 points, possibly up front, because, and I should say if, both products are suitable. It fits the individual's risk tolerance, their time horizon, etc. They're suitable, so he can say, you know, Mrs. Jones, why don't I'm advising that you go into product A. It's suitable for you.
Right.
And that's legal. So this law came down. I know the Obama administration was pushing this a little bit more than a year ago. I know the president spoke about this. I'm also on the Executive Council of AARP in New York State, and this has been a huge initiative of AARP, and they call it Close the Loophole Campaign, and it's been a success. And I'm very, very happy now that all brokers, financial advisors must act in the best interest of their clients with regard to tax-advantaged retirement accounts. But I would like your listeners to know that there's a lot more than tax-advantaged retirement accounts out there. And again, this law won't be phased in for a period of time.
Right.
So I'm advising that everyone ask their financial professional, are you acting in my best interest? And if they're not, you know, let them be upfront, and maybe they could sign an agreement now.
Well, that's the BIC
part of this,
right? Is going to have to sign the agreement. The important thing I think we want to bring to everybody's attention is all these laws come about not because of the majority of people.
The majority
of advisors are wonderful people.
Absolutely.
It comes about because of that percentage. I mean, when I do my programs, Project Safe, we talk about scams. It's a small percentage, but you have to beware, because who wants to be the person that falls in the category of the 5% that got taken advantage of?
Right.
And so it really it is something that most of the financial advisors are not going to be concerned with.
Right.
But those ones that are shady, however you want to say it, it's the fiduciary part of it,
exactly.
Not the suitability part of it, which is coming into effect here. You can get away with the suitability, but now you're also a fiduciary.
You are a fiduciary, just like a lawyer, just like an accountant. You're a fiduciary,
right?
And John, you'd mentioned BIC, which is a best interest contract exemption, which lets the advisor sell a product to you as long as you're aware that there may be a conflict. This is an exemption to that best interest rule, but everything has to be spelled out to you, as well as any conflicts.
It's almost an impossible contract. Honestly, I just
almost an impossible contract. I agree.
Just clarify something for me.
Sure.
Let's say I am going to make an investment, and I have two items that are equal, and they are to my interest. Does my broker need to tell me what he is getting on either one, or is that immaterial? Perhaps just clarify.
It's very material what the broker gets, because let's face it, if you have equal products that are suitable for you and equal in risk, etc., chances are if the broker gets more compensation from one product, that means that you're getting less of a return on that product. You know, money is money. So you're going to be getting less of a return. So the whole idea of this law is that, you know, let's be upfront. And John, you said that 95%, I would venture to say 99%+ of advisors and brokers act in their clients' best interest. And they don't need a law to put them on the right track. It's just a very, very few. And
but that small number, according to the statistics, translates into $17 billion a year in excess commissions, which comes out of, that's 60 and over. So when you take, now of course there's hundreds of billions of dollars, but when you take $17 billion in extra fees,
a year.
That's a lot.
A year. That's crazy.
And that's what brought this to fruition, basically. It's like, that's too much. It just, you know, it's a scary number. And unfortunately, many of the people which we talk about in the Project Safe programs, seniors are trusting.
Right.
And if they say, Ron, that's the best thing, thank you very much, they're not questioning. I mean, this is to make it a little bit more transparent, basically.
Right. Exactly.
So you should sit, you know, if you're buying a house, you know what you're paying for it, and you know what the commission is, because you got to write separate checks.
Right.
This is almost taking it to the same level.
And I would venture to say on your non-retirement accounts, ask your broker, ask your advisor to make sure that they're acting in your best interest.
Right, 100%.
Yeah.
Now we're going to make a shift, but I appreciate that very much. And the timing of it to have Ron here this morning, coincidentally, with the ruling coming out, is tremendous. So our listeners have to start, you know, your own best advocate. And if you're not, then Project Independence will help you.
Right.
But we also want to help everybody get jobs if they want them.
Absolutely.
In their senior years.
Absolutely.
Some tips
Sure.
For seniors that are looking for employment.
Okay.
It's a tough one, I know that, and but we need some advice.
Absolutely. I look at it from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I have a staff in my law firm of about 17 individuals, so I'm an employer. You know, we hire, and on rare occasion, we have an amazing staff, but on very rare occasion, we may have to let somebody go.
Right.
And we have to be very careful as an employer. But then again, as an elder law attorney, clients come to us all the time for advice, and one, you know, as far as how to protect assets. But a big piece is, you know, they might have a spouse that died. Maybe they don't have enough income in retirement, and they want to get a job. So some tips, I'd say number one, you know, if you reach this stage in life, in fact, whatever stage that is, and you're listening to this show, make sure that whatever move you make to employment is something that you love, that you truly love, like to do. And when I talk to my clients, I always talk, and I start off with, what are your values? What do you love to do? And if you do love to do it, and whatever you want to do and that job you're looking for coincides with your values, then I think that you're going to you will have an open mind. You'll learn whatever skills are needed for that job. Why? Because you love it.
Right.
And you're going to want to be there. And John and I were talking, and even before you came, and we both agreed, you know, if someone is 90, someone's 80, or someone's 25.
Or 31.
Or 31. You know, if they're the right person for the job, the employer would want them. Why wouldn't anyone want them?
Right.
There is some age discrimination, and there's some legal age discrimination.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. I mean, if you have a tween line of clothing,
okay,
as my son's girlfriend does, she's in the clothing business. She has a line for tweens, and you want a model to model that. You could,
right.
There could be age discrimination, and there's certain exceptions that are carved out. You want a tween model, you don't want a 90-year-old to model.
Right, no, okay, clothing. That makes sense, okay.
So, you know, so there are some exceptions to that.
Yeah,
I think the
show Hamilton has had some issues come up regarding the fact that they are taking a specific ethnic group and not taking others. And
I read that.
Very interesting. And I did read about that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It really is. Everything can get a twist, right. Unfortunately. And that's when you have to go back to what Ron was saying. You try to go for something you love.
Right.
And your second career as a senior, chances are you have an opportunity to do that. I mean, oftentimes, young adults getting into the workforce, they have college loans. If they went to law school, medical school, guess what? You have to get the job.
Right.
It may not
right.
be what you love. But you have to start paying some bills.
Right.
Coming back the second time, hopefully you're on a retirement, you're on an income, you're having an advisor who is respecting the DOL rules, everything is going smooth, so you right. have the opportunity to do what you love,
right.
which I think is probably the best person to have on your side in an employment situation.
Absolutely. You know? And many times, as you said, someone who's not so concerned about the dollar. You might be
right.
concerned,
yeah,
but maybe you're not. Depends on the reason why you're going back to work. It might be just because you want to work
right.
and you want to do something that's fulfilling, that you love, or you may need the dollars because you don't
right.
have enough
right.
in retirement.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens. Unfortunately, you do see that with certain people. And that's why retirement is going further and further out.
Right.
But it's also activity. I mean, to me, people in their 60s retiring, which is very nice, don't get me wrong. I say to clients, it's like, you got 30 years ahead of you. Are you sure? You got to be active. You can't just watch whatever the shows are in the morning and have lunch and watch them in the afternoon and then go to bed. It's like 30 years of that. You might as well put them in a cage in a kennel. It's just, you know.
Not very fulfilling to me.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
You
but
know.
Then you also need to consider perhaps people that are in the workforce and are aging and can also experience various things going on related to age. And then I know I received an email from you very recently, since I'm on your email list, regarding Social Security. I believe that there is a provision right now that will end in May that those of us that have been married mm-hmm. were able to file under the marriage and delay Social Security, if I am correct. And you wrote it, so I have that thing right there with all my other stuff saying this will no longer be a option that those that are retiring can do as far as delaying it on one's own salary and then getting an increase in your monthly payments when
correct.
You do file.
Yeah. So,
what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold. That's a very important question, and Ron will answer it when we come back from the break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Ron Fatula.